A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sen. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 48. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of The Tomorrow People. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. The Tomorrow People, an ITV children's science fiction show that ran very successfully between 1973 and 1979. 8 seasons, 68 episodes in all. And the basic premise of The Tomorrow People, as we were discussing in our last episode, is of children and young people who are the next stage in human evolution and have developed special powers. And who use those powers basically in the defense of Earth. It's a space series as well. They go off out into space and there's adventures with alien races and spaceships and all sorts of science fiction standards in there. So it's all good stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Getting into a few of the details and things that they had in the show that we didn't before, they were based in what they referred to as the lab. They had this secret lab that was in a London Underground station, a subway station, a disused London Underground station. And they had this little base where they had their sleeping quarters, and Tim was installed in this sort of big installation on the ceiling, and they had the whole little base of operations that was there. Tim was originally built by John, we're told, with the aid of the Galactic Trig, or some element of the Galactic Federation. And Tim is more than just a talking computer who can speak and listen and do all sorts of analysis and gather information. Tim can synthesize food and drink and sort of create things out of nothing. And Tim also is a guiding force and able to help the Tomorrow People in using their powers that they have.
That's right, yes. I mean, one of the particular things that Tim can do for them is to do with this ability they have of jaunting. I mean, we learn right in the first season that all Tomorrow People can jaunt or teleport, but they can only jaunt very short distances. And there's a couple of episodes throughout the stories where they have to do that, and they have to take lots of short hops, which I think wears them out. But they can jaunt much further when they're wearing their amplifier belts. So they have these special belts that they wear, and with the aid of Tim, they can jaunt really sort of huge distances, I mean, across space. And Tim seems to guide that process for them and jaunts them into the particular location that they need to be. And we get with these belts, we get this very sort of, I don't know if it's cool, but it's certainly the memorable image, which is where the Tomorrow People stand and put their thumbs in their belts and then jaunt away. And I know that British children throughout the 70s were standing in playgrounds up and down the country with their thumbs hooked in their belts, pretending as they could jaunt as if they were Tomorrow People. And it's all good fun stuff.
Yes, absolutely. They give us the idea a number of times that the Galactic Federation generally does not even use spaceships. They jaunt from one planet to another in entirely different systems with the aid of computers and systems like Tim. And they can even communicate telepathically from one planet to another in completely different star systems, again with the aid of Tim.
But they did they updated the designs later on. I mean, when we get to season 6 of The Tomorrow People, the lab had been updated and gets a new design. And they'd got rid of the amplifier belts and replaced them with, I suppose, more contemporary, stylish sort of wristbands that they all wore. And so rather than placing their hands on their belts to jaunt, they would place a hand on this wrist device and then disappear. So there were some changes, I think, to reflect the fact that the Tomorrow People lasted for several years, and they sort of updated it as they went along.
Yes, they went from the jaunting belts, the jaunting bands. The lab, instead of this old tube station, subway station look, gained this much more stylish 1970s type of style to it. And Tim became, rather than a big insulation on the ceiling became a little sort of thing on wheels that moved around a little bit. So they did have a bit of a different look there. I think that later look was actually more dated in a lot of ways.
I think the original lab looks better.
Yes, absolutely. They also, throughout the series, had the use of stun guns, which was interesting in that the Tomorrow People could not kill or cause harm, so they certainly wouldn't use guns of any other sort. They had these little stun guns that were like ray guns that they could use to stun people and knock them unconscious. And Tim could synthesize the stun guns on the little sort of table there, as he did with food and drink. So that was something that was there as well. They also, after the first year or so, they introduced these matter transporter belts, which were like jaunting belts, but they could do the teleportation all on their own. So people who were not Tomorrow People, who were unfortunately referred to as saps, sap being short for Homo sapien, the saps or ordinary people, if they were working with the Tomorrow People, could put one of these matter transporter belts on, and Tim could then transport them anywhere using that.
Yeah, there was teleportation for everybody in the Tomorrow People universe, as long as you had one of their matter transporter devices and Tim to guide you.
Although I don't know if they ever used that to go to other planets with other people. I can't remember them doing that. I may be wrong, but I don't remember that.
No, right. And I mean, there was obviously certain elements of that seemed to be taken perhaps from Star Trek, you know, the stun guns. I mean, the Tomorrow People's phasers are always set to stun. And of course, teleportation is like the transporter on the Enterprise to a certain extent, particularly when they use the matter transporter belt.
Absolutely.
And then we also had this interesting idea that there were some saps, as they're referred to by the Tomorrow People, who have partial powers of their own. And I think it's explained that they were potential Tomorrow People who went through a partial breaking out process, but who perhaps weren't contacted by the Tomorrow People or weren't spotted by the Tomorrow People. And so they never fully developed their potential. But they do have some limited powers, particularly the power of mind reading. And that comes up, I think, a couple of times in the Tomorrow People, where these saps usually seem to be working for government agencies. They're working for the military or for secret organizations. And in a way, they've been used against the Tomorrow People to try and divine their thoughts and find out what's going on and keep the military informed about them. And one character in particular crops up, I think, in at least two or perhaps possibly three of the stories.
That's right. They do touch on that idea of people with partial Tomorrow People powers. They don't do a lot with that, but they do touch on it occasionally.
So the boy is a telepath?
Yes, and he was deliberately making mistakes. I managed to penetrate his mind enough to find that out.
What else did you discover?
Nothing. He detected me and put up barriers. He's a much stronger telepath than I am, and he was trying to hide it.
Does Causton know the boy's true powers?
Yes, he does. I probed into his mind. He and the boy are up to something, but I couldn't find out what.
Now, as we've said, it's a long-running show. There's 8 seasons, 68 episodes in all, so it can be quite overwhelming to know where to start with the Tomorrow People. So we're going to pick through a few of these stories and try and pick out some good and the bad and perhaps one or two that you might want to avoid altogether. Where should we start, Brian?
Well, I think I want to start with Secret Weapon. Secret Weapon is a favorite of mine. It was an Earth-based serial that dealt with the Tomorrow People going up against this secret government organization and the Tomorrow People being pursued, and the government is really trying to exploit them, and there are scientists involved doing some various nasty things, and drugs and suspended animation type things being used to hold power over the Tomorrow People. So there were some really interesting things in that.
So that's from the start of the third series, where Tyso breaks out, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Right, okay. And so, and then also perhaps from the start of the second season of The Tomorrow People, we have The Blue and the Green, again, a sort of Earth-based story, but there is some alien involvement in this one. And this features the breakout of Elizabeth, who had gone to be one of the sort of very senior characters in The Tomorrow People. And that's an interesting story about, again, as we've said, a sort of an almost a side effect of an alien life form going through its life cycle and in the process damaging the Earth. And we have these competing factions called The Blue and the Green. Green, who develop violent tendencies towards each other as a sort of consequence of what's going on with this alien race, although that takes a while to come out. But it's an interesting story.
Yes, it was a fairly creepy one, and it's held up as the favorite serial from the Tomorrow People by a lot of people. It is quite good. As they continued with the series in the last few seasons, they went to shorter seasons and the individual serials were shorter. They go down to sort of 2-episode serials and that sort of thing. And there were a couple of good ones there. The Living Skins was right near the end in the 7th season. And it was an interesting one. I quite liked it, although it had some slightly odd things with this fashionable clothing turning out to be this sort of alien influence thing. But it was definitely an interesting one, though. I had fun with that. It wasn't as deep as some of the others, but I definitely had fun with it.
And it features the perils of going to a 1970s clothing boutique.
Well, absolutely. How can you beat that?
Yes. Which is perilous in more ways than one.
Yeah, it was the Tomorrow People can be kind of cheesy or campy, and it was in that case, but it was an enjoyable story for sure. In season 5, they did one called The Dirtiest Business that dealt with the KGB, and that was fairly dark. Probably the darkest thing they did in the latter seasons, anyhow. That was quite good.
And that's just, I think, just a 2-episode spy story, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, of course, along the way, there's a few serials that we might want to keep away from, if at all possible. Which ones stand out, perhaps, for the wrong reasons, Brian?
Well, definitely the standout for the wrong reasons is A Man for Emily.
Which is the one that everybody refers to in this context, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. There's a long-running trend of science fiction series having to do a Western episode at one point. You know, they have to pull out the cowboy hats and do a Western at some point. It happened in the original Star Trek and The Prisoner. It happened in Doctor Who in the 60s. And it happened in The Tomorrow People in the 70s. As well. It was, well, cringeworthy is the term used sometimes. It was pretty bad. It was over the top and it didn't particularly go anywhere. So it's for me definitely the one to hide in the corner and not watch again.
Yes, because not only did they try a Western theme, they also tried to do comedy at the same time. It's funny, but for all the wrong reasons, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. One of the few things you can say in favor of it is that it had Peter Davison in it in one of his first appearances, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. The Fifth Doctor appears in this Tomorrow People story called The Man for Emily, and I think it's a performance that nowadays he'd like to forget. It's also where he met his wife, Sandra Dickinson, who we've talked about previously from the BBC adaptation of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and she's in it as well. Although, again, I don't think she looks back on her performance with any great fondness either. It's a very strange story. And then it builds up towards the climax, the 8th season, which in itself is a rather strange one.
Yes, it is. The 8th season consisted of only one serial, one story. It was 4 episodes long. It was called War of the Empires, and it was quite bizarre. It went from having, I thought, some interesting ideas in it to having some things that were very weak. There is an ongoing thing you hear about that British TV and British sources of various types will show Americans in less than a positive light. Well, that was the weakest part of this serial, and the hardest thing to watch was how they dealt with the Americans and the American president and his administration. They were simply held up as sort of fools, and that was about it. But at the same time, what we had in the War of Empires, it features a war between the Thargons and the Saurians, 2 major galactic forces, different species, and Earth getting caught in the middle of it. So it was one of the very few times that they combined this Earth-based story with the very large-scale galactic story where they went to the galactic trig and they had the administration of the Federation and dealt with all of these things and had the Tomorrow People coming in and having a major successful impact without actually killing or causing harm to individuals. So it was quite a neat show in that way. But the things with the Americans were pretty bad. And as we've talked about, the budget for the Tomorrow People was quite low, even lower than Doctor Who. And it showed. And some of the aliens were, you know, pretty well hand puppets in this. So there's definitely some oddball, weak things, and the visuals are less than spectacular. But it is kind of a neat show because it's so different and has some of those big ideas in it.
Yeah, the eighth season is a bit of a puzzle because it's only the 4-episode story, as you say, and it just ends, and that was it. There was no more Tomorrow People of the original series after that. The budget presumably was running out. Possibly the audience was starting to fall off.
I think it was at that point.
Right, it must have been, because I'm presuming the audience was just growing up and growing out of the Tomorrow People at this stage. And for whatever reason, it just wasn't renewed. And unfortunately, it goes out with rather a strange storyline where the idea perhaps is interesting about the Earth caught in this sort of galactic war. But the execution was, well, let's say it was rather poorly executed, and that would be being kind and generous, I think.
Yes, it does have a lot of problems with it. I enjoy it. There are a lot of people who don't. It's definitely an interesting one and something that's quite unique in the Tomorrow People. And there are not many shows that do an episode or a serial quite like that.
No. So that was it in 1979. That was the end of the original series of the Tomorrow People. If you wanted other Tomorrow People product, at the time you could get, I think there were 5 books by Roger Price. So there were 5 Tomorrow People books that came out. I think 2 of them were straight adaptations of storylines from the series itself. And then there was 3 other books by Roger Price, which contained sort of additional Tomorrow People stories. I haven't read any of those, but I know they are still available online. You can find them on the secondhand book sites very cheaply, so they're out there. It was also, I think, at the height of its popularity, it was featured in the Look-In magazine, which we've mentioned before, a teenager's magazine that was linked to the Independent Television Network. And so there was a comic strip of the Tomorrow People that ran in Look-In. The same way that Time Slip had a comic strip in Look-In, and in the same way, you can still find some of these comic strips online, and I'll put a link up to those probably on the Facebook page if you want to track down some of those images. So they're worth having a look at. And there was plenty, I think, of extra stories written by fans, and you can find several of those on the web as well.
Interesting. Okay. There was also a remake, a 1990s Tomorrow People series that was once again created and written by Roger Price, with Price as executive producer. At least the beginning of it was written by Price. It was once again produced by Thames Television, in this case in partner with Nickelodeon Productions. So there was some American influence in the production there. It ran from 1992 to 1995, 3 seasons. They took the reimagining or reboot approach where they started from the beginning with a new group of characters. It was entirely based on Earth. There was no real alien contact in it. They did a little bit with the idea that aliens existed, but the characters had no contact with aliens off of Earth.
And it also it did away with all the gadgets from the original series. So there's no stun guns or matter transporter belts, and I think they did away with the jaunting belts themselves. And we don't get the lab where, you know, the Tomorrow People's base, and we don't get Tim, which is a bit of a shame. We don't get this talking computer to guide and sort of advise the Tomorrow People. But instead of that, they gave us a psychic spaceship somewhere in the Pacific, which, to be honest, I never really quite understood what was going on there. But when the Tomorrow People sort of break out in the remake series, they are sort of drawn to this spaceship where they learn a bit more of the truth about what they are and what their powers are.
Yeah, it acts as a beacon and gives them a bit of a base of operations. we don't see them get a lot out of that. It sort of gives them some guidance of a kind, I guess.
The remake did have a sort of multinational cast. So we had cast members from Britain and from Australia and from America. I think, you know, actors drawn from soap operas and, again, sort of trying to pick up on some of the sort of teen idol approach that we saw with Mike in the original series. And I think they were also aiming at its multinational audience that they were intending for, you know, this joint production with Nickelodeon. So they were obviously hoping that it would go down well in North America as well as in the UK. Whether that was terribly successful, I don't know. It only got the three seasons.
Yes, it did have some definite American influences in the production, and it was a different style of show from the original. It really was. They had the sort of anti-war and sort of pacifist ideas in there a little bit, but certainly not as much. And it felt more like a kid's adventure show that had these powers and had a little bit of sci-fi ideas here and there peppered into it, where the original one was much more of a sci-fi show for children. The sci-fi was much more upfront and much more central.
And they didn't keep the original music or the sort of theme of the opening credits, which is another big shame.
That's true. It had a different look than the original, for sure. In the 90s version of The Tomorrow People, they didn't use the term jaunting. They just talked about teleporting. The Tomorrow People could teleport to anywhere in the world, but there were no jaunting belts or anything of that type involved. The only alien technology was the ship itself, and that seemed to have some uses, but it was fairly limited. So it was definitely a different style of show, and it improved as it went. There definitely were some interesting things in there. They had some guest actors, primarily as villains, who were very good. They had Gene Marsh as the villain in one serial. That was quite a good performance. And they even had Christopher Lee as the villain in another. So there were some interesting things in that. It's not something that has the same kind of memorable style or impact that the original one did, but it also lacks some of the things that were a little bit weak in the original. It was an interesting different take.
Very much different show.
Someone's trying to contact us.
A Tomorrow person?
Yep, think so.
I think so too, but so far away, so distant.
Well, it seems to me it's one of two things. I mean, whoever this guy is, either he's like a million miles away.
An alien?
It's possible. Or else if he's not trying to contact us across space, then...
Across time?
Yeah.
You mean it's like a call from the future? But could that be?
Well, the past.
There is something that gets us back to nearer the original Tomorrow People, which I suppose is the audio series, Brian, that you know much more about than I do.
In 2001, Big Finish, who we've talked about before, they do audio dramas based on various TV series and other things. In 2001, Big Finish launched a series of audio plays of the Tomorrow People. And they reunited Nicholas Young as John and Philip Gilbert as Tim and introduced this new series based on the original Tomorrow People with Daniel Wilson playing Paul and Helen Goldwyn playing Elena. They were two new Tomorrow People. It started much like the original show with someone breaking out. It started with Paul breaking out and Tim and Elena coming to help. It was a much more adult kind of show than the original. It was aimed at the original fans who are now no longer kids. This was being done, you know, 25 years later. So you had a much more adult show that at times was much darker and had some ongoing character development for John and for other characters. It had some ongoing story arcs in it, much more so than you would have in the 1970s series. And it was actually really quite good. They did a very good job with it. Unfortunately, in 2004, Philip Gilbert died, and they, at that point, introduced Trevor Littledale as the new voice of Tim, and he carried that on very well, actually. And over the series, they had a number of guest appearances by the original characters, so Stephen, Elizabeth, Mike, Carol, all of them show up in the audio adventures at one point or another. In particular, there was one CD called Trigonometry, which featured Stephen and Elizabeth and Mike, and of course, John was in it as well. And it was actually quite neat to have all of them back together. They dealt with a number of issues that were raised from the original one. So a lot of people talked about how the Tomorrow People were kind of smug, and John in particular was kind of smug and overbearing to the other characters. Well, they dealt with those issues in the audio series quite extensively, actually. They did a total of 5 seasons, 22 titles, most of them single CDs. There were a couple of double CDs. They ran from 2001 to 2007. Unfortunately, in 2007, Big Finish lost the Tomorrow People license, and they can now no longer produce or even sell Tomorrow People CDs. So you can still find some Tomorrow People CDs around. They're no longer sold by Big Finish, but there's still some in stock. WhoNA.com, Who North America in the US has some. An Alien Entertainment Store in the US has some. Play.com in the UK is still selling some of them, I believe. Forbidden Planet in the UK, I believe, had some, but I think they've run out of them now. So it's unfortunate that they're no longer producing those, that license is no longer there. And hopefully that will be reversed and we'll get some more audio Tomorrow People in the future. Season 6 was actually canceled while it was in production because they lost the license. And it sounded like they had some interesting stuff on tap for that. So hopefully at some point, Big Finish will be able to get that license back and finish things up.
Okay. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, they did some very interesting stuff with it. I actually think the audio series is the best Tomorrow People series and has the best stories and writing and acting of all of them. In the first season of the audio Tomorrow People, they included a number of continuity references to the original, especially in the second episode of the audio Tomorrow People. That was called The Deadliest Species, and it made reference to just about every original Tomorrow person and original Tomorrow People character, and basically told you where all of them were and what all of them were doing. They also made reference to the change in look and said how they experimented with the jaunting wristbands, but went back to the jaunting belts and went back to having Tim install them, the ceiling and the sort of earlier look with the London Underground station. So they specifically went to the classic look rather than the later 1970s look, which was kind of interesting.
They knew which was the better bit.
Yes, they did. And they did something surprising and a little bit unusual in that particular episode, The Deadliest Species. They actually brought the new Tomorrow People, the 1990s series, into the original continuity. They referred to how John and Tim and the other Tomorrow People were away from Earth for a period of time. In that time, when they were away, a number of new Tomorrow People broke out and took their role in helping people and so on, even though they did not have a Tim computer. So they quite clearly used a series of references like that to bring the new series into the original continuity. So that was kind of a clever little thing they did.
Neatly done.
Yes, it certainly was.
It's good when people can work in these things into continuity. Very impressive. Shall we talk about availability of the original TV series?
Absolutely.
In Region 2, I've been watching the complete original series in one set, all 68 episodes, which I got from Amazon, where it's currently listed at about £43, and it's certainly readily available. As is the remake series from the 90s, the 3 seasons, all again available in one set for about £12 on Amazon, and they're both available on the rental sites as well. So in Region 2, fairly easy to get hold of.
And in Region 1, the original series is also pretty easy to get a hold of. It's available on Amazon for about $100, $110. It's actually, rather than one set with the complete series, they broke it up into 3. So there are 3 separate sets that comprise the complete original series. The new series has not been released on Region 1 at all. So if you want to see that, you'll have to resort to importing a copy from the UK.
Which brings us, I guess, to our recommendations about the original Tomorrow People from the 1970s, Brian. And this could be interesting.
Yes, it could. What an interesting series. It is a classic in many ways. It's fondly remembered. In some ways, it does not stand up to the test of time. In other ways, it does. If you're interested in watching something that is from that time and, you know, unabashedly 1970s and cheesy and campy in certain ways, then by all means, The Tomorrow People is it. Watch it from beginning to end. If you're looking for something that is interesting with lots of interesting ideas and spreads through a wide variety of styles and formats, then Tomorrow People is not bad. It certainly does that. At times, some of the things it does are kind of weak or dated, or certainly look rather weak in the production values department. But there is some interesting things here. You might want to check out one or two to see what this sort of classic of its time was like.
Okay. You're much kinder than I am, Brian. I'm afraid I know The Tomorrow People is very fondly remembered, and I remembered it fondly, although I couldn't remember any of the specific stories at all. I could only remember the opening credits and the cool jaunting. And I know lots of people love it, and I know lots of people have made comments about the fact that we were going to be covering it and have discussed it on the Facebook group. But the original series, unfortunately, has not stood the test of time at all. And quite frankly, it looks and sounds terrible. The sets are awful. The special effects are awful. The acting is almost universally terrible throughout. Some of the child actors start out bad and then manage to get worse in successive series. And even the adult actors, I think, disgrace themselves. Some of them are terrible. But worse than any of that, I'm afraid, is that the scripts just don't stand up at all. Some of the great ideas just get ruined by the scripts and the dialogue and the Tomorrow People behaving in sort of like a rather stupid fashion for such a superior group of people, apparently. So I'm afraid it was one of the hardest things I've had to watch for British Invaders. And it's also one of the longest things I think we've covered since I joined the show. Quite difficult to get to grips with all 68 episodes of it. My personal recommendation would be to go to YouTube and watch the opening credits, which is the best bit of the whole thing. And it really stands up well. And then go and find a cheaper 1970 series such as Children of the Stones, which is far more watchable than this, I'm afraid.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can't argue with you on any individual points there. You know, it doesn't stand up well in very many ways, for sure.
And yet I'd enjoyed it when I was a kid, and I remembered it very well, and I know lots of people feel the same. And I think if they remember it fondly and they haven't seen it recently, personally I'd say stay away from it, because it may disappoint you.
That's fair enough. On most objective criteria, just looking at it as straight drama, it's not very strong, for sure. But there's a sense of fun there and some ideas that I enjoyed. The recommendation I will give is that the Big Finish Tomorrow People audio plays on CD are very good. They unfortunately can be hard to find now, but if you can get a hold of them, they are really quite good. They take the whole idea of The Tomorrow People to a new level. The writing and acting are much stronger. They cast pretty good actors as their two new Tomorrow People. And Nicholas Young as John has a much more interesting role and some character development as well. So if you're looking for a piece of Tomorrow People nostalgia that is more listenable, then look to the Big Finish audio CDs if you can find them. They're well worth it.
Okay. They do sound better than the TV shows. And if I can overcome my disappointment, I may still try them. And as ever, if I'm wrong about The Tomorrow People, and in particular about the original series, then do let us know. Post something on Facebook or email us and tell me why the original series of The Tomorrow People is still worth watching.
And remember to do it after you watch it recently, not remembering it from years ago.
Yep.
So, in summary, The Tomorrow People was a 1970s series that ran for 8 years that dealt with the evolution of humanity into Homo Superior, also known as The Tomorrow People, a small group of teenagers and sometimes even younger kids who had special powers like jaunting or teleportation and telekinesis and especially telepathy. And they would save the world on a regular basis. And they had contact with the Galactic Federation, which was an organization of human or human-like telepaths all over the galaxy. And the Tomorrow People would go out and travel on spaceships in some stories and cover all kinds of different formats and lots of ideas and do it with particularly low budgets and weak visuals.
But interesting ideas.
Definitely interesting ideas. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com and at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there.
And you can send me your comments about the Tomorrow People on the Facebook group. And also, you can jump in on the subject of our next discussion, because next time on British Invaders, we're going to be talking about a 1980s one-off television film called Artemis 81. And if you can understand or decipher any of the mysteries of that show for us, then do please get involved with the discussion and help us out before we record next month.
That one is not a straightforward show, is it?
Not at all straightforward, and we're still trying to work out some of it. It's a perfect opportunity for our listeners to get involved. If you've seen that, if you remember it at all, please let us know.
Indeed. I think that just about covers it. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
And this is thank you and goodbye from Eamon in England.